We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is our friend. Hallelujah. I want you to go to John chapter 14. But yes, he is our friend. He is the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God, the Paraclete, the Greek word parakletos, meaning one who comes up, takes hold with you against your problems. He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. He's as close as the mention of his name, the word says. And some people say, well, no, that's the Lord God. Well, let me ask you this. When we start talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the one that abides in your heart this day? Who caused the new birth? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you as a believer. So in John chapter 14, we're going to look at some different ways that the Holy Spirit is portrayed in the book of John, some things that are said about him, expound upon it briefly, and then move on with each one. But in John chapter 14, every time I read this portion of Scripture, I can't help but think on the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As believers, He makes the difference for us here in this earth. He lives and dwells in you and I. Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh, different names for him in Hebrew. I look at the Spirit of God. He is the empowering aspect of deity, the empowering aspect who has come to dwell within us. And with his indwelling presence come manifestations that from time to time will flow in us, through us, not for us, but for others, through you and I. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are for other people through you. You see that? Remember that. It's as he wills. Now, I've had the Lord reveal things to me with different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And every time that it's been him doing it, it's so obvious, and the results follow. Something I said to Ann earlier tonight, I said, you know, there's a lot of folks that talk about the Holy Spirit, but never have really learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit, when he speaks something to you, here's how you can know. It's a very easy, succinct, really simple way to know when the Holy Spirit is talking to you. When he says something to you, get this down, hear me now. When he says something to you, there is an instant peace. Instant peace. I mean instant peace. The problem is most people don't recognize his voice. In the body of Christ, there's, again, a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit, but not very many people really flow in the manifestations of the Spirit when they're ready to happen. And so we want to learn, as believers, how to tune in and more finely tune in the station. You know, and I say station. You remember years ago with a radio, and you'd get the antenna just right. You know, we had one of these. Ours was pretty cool because you could get shortwave radio on it. You could get broadcasts in different languages. My dad had this really cool radio, but you could turn the aerial a certain way at certain times, and we could hear a station that was broadcasting out of Atlanta, Georgia, like they were in the city next door to us up in Wisconsin. Crystal clear. Other times you couldn't get it. But you would tune in, and as you got close to where it was starting to get clear, you were real careful, you would finally tune it. Then there was another adjustment where you could finally tune that radio, and it would go in very, very small increments. I think as believers, we need to learn how to finally, in a very precise fashion, tune in to his voice. Tune into his voice. And don't mistake the supernatural for always having to be spectacular. The supernatural is not always spectacular. It seems spectacular to a person who never hears the voice of God. But for those that hear his voice, know his voice, respond to him when he says this, when he says do this, when he says don't do that, it's all on an individual level. It becomes just second nature. I love to go out into my onto my property and talk to the Lord out there by myself. I enjoy doing that, just going out to have some quiet time. Walk up in the woods, just walk around, just pray in the Spirit. If anybody's hearing me pray in the Spirit on my own property in my woods, they're trespassing, okay? So I have no issue with that at all. I don't scream out in tongues on my property. That's not it. But I do go out and pray in the Spirit and walk about, walk around, sometimes not even in the woods, just go out in the yard. Just be outside. Just be out of the confines of the house or the church, the office, whatever it may be, and just get alone with God. Some of the best sermons I've ever received have been times when I drove in the car for a little while praying in the Spirit and then pull over and take some notes. But you have to hear. It's not good enough to just do the study part of it. Studying is great, and you need to study. But you have to balance it out with praying in the Spirit and listening. Because the Holy Spirit will give illumination, greater illumination on the Scriptures than what we have from Thayer or what we have from Young or what we have from, Strong's. Or what we have from Red Path and Vines, what we have from whatever the commentary may be, or the concordance, or the definitions and the lexicons and so on. And those are all fine and great and dandy and study tools, yes. But we need to listen, because he will illuminate what we study. So I think that one of the keys is right away knowing that the Holy Spirit, when he's speaking, there is instant peace. And if there's not instant peace, it's not God. Because he is incapable of telling you something that will not bring peace. If you have the least little bit of inkling, like, ooh, I don't know, I'm not sure. There's no peace there. Well, if there's no peace, that's not God. Now, he may tell you not to do something, and it would be a peaceful don't do it, and you would be okay with saying, you know what, I really in the natural want to do this, but I feel like I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't go that direction. And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit convincing you of something, convicting you of something, trying to give direction into your heart. But when he does, it always will be accompanied by that peace. I think in hearing from the Holy Spirit and beginning to move out in manifestations of the Holy Spirit, there's one thing that it takes. Well, there's a couple things that it takes. The first thing that it takes is you need to have a consistent diet of alone time with God. A consistent diet of alone time, if you will. I don't know, there's maybe a better way of saying that. Time alone, time spent apart, fellowshipping with the Lord. If you're going to flow in the manifestations, it is as he wills, but he will not force a manifestation on you. When he wants to manifest, we're talking about phanerosis now, the manifestations of the Spirit outlined in 1 Corinthians 12. People call them the gifts of the Spirit. They're really not the gifts. They're the manifestations, the phanerosis. when he wants to manifest himself through you, use you to give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a tongue, an interpretation, a prophecy. Discerning of spirits comes. Whenever he wants to do that, he will not force you to listen. He will not force his will on you. So the other part of the I don't want to call it a plan, but it has to do with the plans of God. But the other part of the equation, if you will, when you're going to start to move in the things of the Holy Spirit, you have to be willing to step out with the thought that, and the enemy will bring this thought, and he will try very sternly and strongly to stop you from stepping out, with the thought that, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong when you say that to that person? Please, do not limit the ability of the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through you to right here inside this church building. This is probably a place that he would be least inclined, maybe not least inclined, but less inclined to move through you versus out there in the marketplace. Think about it for a minute. When Jesus would say something to somebody, one time he spoke to a woman at the well. You remember that? You know, this guy's not my husband. No, you speak right. You've had five husbands, right? Okay. That word came outside of the synagogue, outside of the place where they all gathered together in assembly. So we need to be very, very much aware that the Spirit of God doesn't want to just do stuff in the church house. And he can, and we'll give him opportunities. And there are times there are people in here that need to hear from, need a word from God, and the Holy Spirit calls somebody out, and maybe you've had it happen to you already. And we praise God for that. But you must be ready and willing. You got to have some guts about you. I don't know any other way to say it. Anybody that ever gets anything done for the Lord or is used of the Lord in any degree or any fashion, that person has some intestinal fortitude that goes beyond what most others have. Do you have, and I know it sounds kind of coarse maybe, but do you have some guts about you? About stepping out? Faith, when you step out in faith, it takes some guts to step out in faith because of the pressure that'll come into your soul regarding fleshly things. What if you're wrong? What if? What if? What if? And well, the other side of it is, what if I'm right? What if that is the Spirit of God and I don't step out and say what he's telling me to say, or go over there and lay hands on that person, or just, I've done this before, Spirit of God told me to touch a person that I didn't know, and I had engaged in some conversation with him. And so just as I was getting ready to leave so I wouldn't be disobedient, I said, Lord, how can I do that? I can't go right up to him. And, you know, they'll think there's something wrong with me, maybe get defensive, maybe get mad, what have you. So I struck up a conversation, and all the time underneath it, praying in the Spirit. And just before I left, out of the place where I was at, it was a business, reached over and said, hey, very nice to meet you. Tapped him on the shoulder. And boy, I spent some time praying for that individual because I thought, you know what? Through the law of contact and transmission, the anointing that is in me, the command that the Lord gave me to lay hands on people, sometimes you have to do it in a creative fashion, creative way, so as not to offend people, you don't just, you know, there have been people that have gotten themselves in trouble going up and trying to lay hands on people. There was a young man that came to me and said, the Lord's telling, he's calling me to a ministry to college girls. I said, well, the dickens, you say. I would suspect he's not calling you, Mr. 35-year-old who has never had a date in his life, to go minister to college kids. Girls. Had to be girls. Oh, it's girls. I said, no, you got an issue. You need to back off. That's not the Spirit of God. That's your flesh. That's you. Right? Come on. Was that not wisdom? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's go on. We need to touch on a few of these offices of the Holy Spirit tonight. In John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. I guess back up to 15. If you love me, this is Jesus talking. He said, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Do you see that? He is the abiding guest. You know, the Bible says, and it's in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 5, that he'll never leave and never forsake you, right? Who do you suppose it is that's never leaving and never forsaking you? He's the abiding guest. He'll abide with you forever. He will never walk away from you. Although people at times walk away from him and try to push down his influence, all you need to do is just, really keep your eye on your own life. Because it's real easy to get your eye off on other people and become judgmental. And don't do that. You will answer for you. You will not answer for that person over there or that one over there or that. You're not even going to answer for your mate. You're going to answer for you. And once children reach an age of accountability and they turn into adults, my goodness, accountability is where? Probably around 7 years of age, somewhere in there where they can discern, decipher right from wrong. It's probably younger than that in cases. But once they're adults, man, you know what? I was telling this to Austin. I said, you're going to answer the Lord for your life. And preacher's kids need to be careful of this because they go, well, my dad, my mom. No. It's not them. It's you. I've said this to other pastors and preachers. I said, our children need to recognize that they need to walk on their own two legs regarding their faith. It's our duty to teach them, but then they have to walk it out because you can't pass it off. I've had family members, my brother's a pastor. Well, big deal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's not good enough to go, my brothers are in ministry or whatever. No, look. Or my cousin, or whoever. It doesn't matter. What are you doing? What are you doing with what you're supposed to be doing? The giftings that have been placed in your life, are you developing in those areas? Or are you trying to pass the buck off onto somebody else and say, I've got family in the ministry, so that makes me in the ministry. No, it doesn't. He's the abiding guest. He said he would never leave and never forsake. So you need to realize the Holy Spirit is there for the long run. He's there for the long haul. He's there abiding on the inside of you. If you've received Jesus, he's living in you. So he is the abiding guest, the one who'll never walk away nor turn away from you. That's why it's very unscriptural to pray, Lord, be with me. Lord, be with them on that trip. What do you mean? Think about that. What do you mean, be with? And some people undoubtedly in here have prayed that kind of prayer in years past. You haven't lately because you know better now. But Lord, be with us. Be with us as we go on this trip. Be with us as we get on this plane. Be with us as we do this. Be with us. Why are you calling him a liar? He said he would never leave you. Are you that unaware of his presence? No, that's not a feather in your cap if you think that way. He said he wouldn't leave you. Don't go against that. And what I would say and what I do say is I say, Lord, I thank you that you never leave us. I thank you that you're here. You are the abiding guest. You live and dwell on the inside of me, of my wife, of my son. Wherever we go and we're going on a trip, we thank you that you protect us and watch over us. Amen. Angels of God garrison round about the vehicle in the name of Jesus. Now, the angels will leave you. They will leave you high and dry. Why will they do that? The minute you start saying things that tie their hands, they're going to back off. They respond to the name of Jesus, and they respond to the saints when the saints are speaking what the Word of God has to say. So I would suggest that you speak the Word. Don't spew out a bunch of unbelief and expect God to honor that in your life. He doesn't honor unbelief. Amen? Takes faith to please him. So he's the abiding guest. Look at verse 26. This is a verse. I love this verse. I love a lot of verses in the Word of God, you know. In fact, I love them all. Well, there's a few in there I'm not as in love with. I just finished reading through some of the genealogies. Whoa! Man! I've got a Bible that on my phone that reads to me, you know, and I forgot I had it. And so I'm going through all those genealogies, and I'm pronouncing them, and I'm like, and so one day I finished up, and I've read this, you know, I had like two chapters, and of course they're long, and this one begat this one, and this one, and then I'm going, okay, I remember sitting on my couch, and I looked up, I said, Lord, you know, this really doesn't mean anything to me. No offense, I know it's your word, and I know they copied it down, and it's important to trace the lineage and all that, but man, I need something else. So I'll read this just because I need to read it, because it's part of my reading, but I'm not getting anything out of it at this moment. Okay, I was honest. You know, well, yeah, when I read the genealogies, I get a lot. No, you don't either. Don't give me that noise. You can't even pronounce the names. So, but it is helpful when you're running a background check, if you will, on some of these Bible characters, and then you find out they're tied to this family, and that family had an issue with this, or that family had great faith, or you know, you can utilize the genealogies, and they are important when you're studying. But just to read them. Not a whole lot there for me. Anyway, verse 26, look at this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, what all things to your remembrance? Does he bring up your past sins, or did he say in his word, I'll remember your sins no more? He said, I'll remember your sins no more. So he's not the one bringing up your past to you. He's not the one bringing up the bad memories from the past. Excuse me. There's some real flaws in that teaching when people talk about the Lord showing me all these things that I did in my past when you've repented of it and asked the Lord to forgive you. You were born again. It's stuff you did before you were even born again. And you're telling me God's bringing it up? That's a lie from the devil. He doesn't bring up stuff that he's forgotten. If he has forgiven it and forgotten it, he's not bringing it up. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Do you realize there's teaching that goes around that says that, you know, we need to bring up all of our old memories and get them healed and all that garbage? No. There's a cure for your old thought life. Let's put this in it. And if you did something back, you know, after you were saved and you didn't repent of it, well, hey, I would say if it's coming up and you didn't repent of it, it's the Holy Spirit convicting you. That's one of the things he does. He'll convict you of that sin. Say, you know what? You didn't forgive that person. You brushed that under the rug and you acted like it was all okay, but you're really hanging on to something there. The Spirit of God can and will do that. But if it's something that was in your past life, And you think it's God bringing it up. You remember when you got so drunk that night and you said this and you did this and then you and blah, 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 blah. And that was pre-Jesus Christ. You say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not hearing that. That man, that woman died. And that's gone. Amen. Gotta be on top of that because the devil will slip that junk in there on you. And before you know it, you're thinking about stuff that you did. And oh, here comes the complex. And here comes the bad thoughts and all the memories of stuff that wasn't good and how that person hurt you and this, that, and the other. Before you know it, man, you are tied in a knot. And that was the devil's intent. Well, am I supposed to act like it just didn't exist? Well, if it was before Jesus, you accepted Jesus, old things passed away, all things have become new. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that wouldn't be responsible. Well, then you need to learn a whole lot more about the new birth. Because when you get born again, the person that did all the stuff that you did before you were saved, that person died. The Spirit of God came in and replaced that old stony heart. Man, that's why Paul could say, I've harmed no man. We have a record of him holding the coat of Stephen when they were stoning that man of God. And he turns around later on. It was in the book of 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I think I told you Ephesians or Philippians one day, but it was not right after I thought about that. It's in Corinthians. first or second, so go read them all, okay? But he said, I've wronged no man. That's serious. Wait a minute. That's the same guy that was holding the coat, the same one that was accusing people, going in, infiltrating the ranks of Christians and then reporting them to the authorities and having them killed. What do you mean you've wronged no man? The guy that did that died. Now, don't tell me that the devil didn't try to bring up thoughts of what he did back into Paul's mind. Do you think Paul, Paul had a past. And if Paul didn't bat an eyelash at having people eaten alive by lions, stood there and approved of the smashing of a man of God's head with big rocks, well, there's probably a whole lot of other sins he entered into too. In a fashion and made excuses for it. But once he got saved, boy, I mean, all things became new. The power of God entered his life, and what he did prior to knowing Jesus and accepting him, being knocked off that horse on the road to Damascus, whatever he did before that was forgiven, forgotten, and gone. That's why he came along and said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward, I press after the mark, the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Get off the memory thing. Renew your mind with the word of God. You start telling the devil to shut his mouth about your past. I'd tell him, and I've told him myself, I said, my past is none of your business because the guy that did that stuff died. So he's not even around anymore, and it means nothing to me. But I would remind you of your future because you have a hot future. You're going to the lake of fire, buddy, for eternity. And there's no time limit there. That means forever. Think about that. Stick that in your pipe and smoke. Oh, goodness. So he is the teacher. Verse 26, the one who brings all things to our remembrance. Okay, what are the things that he brings to your remembrance? Whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you see that? End of the verse. He'll bring those things to your remembrance, whatever he has said. So the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance what Jesus has said. Sure, that's exactly what he does. He's the teacher and, I'll put it this way, the remembrancer. Brings to your remembrance. Brings to your remembrance the things that Jesus has said. So it's very important. This is a major stumbling block for some folks. They get caught up in stuff, and the thought of what they have done is holding them bound today, and they're walking in all sorts of guilt and anguish over something that happened before they even knew Jesus, before they ever knew Jesus or accepted him into their heart. And so God's not behind that. It should be pretty simple to see. But yet the enemy has been able to twist things and get people and pull them back into thinking about stuff. And then the excuses come for why you are the way you are. I'm this way because, I had this happen to me when I was a child. I'm not going to dispute the fact that you could have some bad memories from your childhood. But the fact of the matter is, once you grab a hold of the result of I'm a new creation. I'm a new man or a new woman in Christ. Don't give any place to that kind of junk. Somebody say, well, you're just trying to harness it and hide it. No, no, no. It doesn't exist anymore in the eyes of God. There's a difference. Who's bringing it up into your thoughts to get you going down that road again? Knock it off. Oh, but Pastor Dan, I want to think. Oh, now we're to the bottom of it. You do want to think about that, don't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I choose not to think about stuff that happened. There's some funny memories of things, you know. You can have some fond memories. There's some bad memories of things. When I was a kid, you know, I grew up in a very good home, but there were some bad memories of people who, you know, a guy that I remember, I'll tell you about him. He trapped me. I was trying to get home from school over the lunch hour. We had like 2 hours, and he was cutting me off. He and a couple other kids that were older than me, and they were scaring me. They were going to beat me up. I was like in second grade, and I'm trying to get home. And every time I go, they'd be at the end of the block, and I ran to the next block, and they were there. And like a dummy, I didn't cut through the yards and watch and then get, somehow I got by them, I did. But it scared me, and it made me mad and all that. But I can think back to something like that, and it's like, we were kids, man. You know, there's no telling what I said to them to instigate it anyway. You know? But it's like, well, you know, you are like you are. You know, because of those things that happened. That's not true. That's not true. Some things can shape you, but you need to let the Word of God do the major shaping in your life. Okay? And so you can go and you can think about that. You can say, you know, I'm going to go find that guy. That was only 55 years ago, 56 years, 4 years ago, whatever. I'm going to go find him. And he'd go, what? Who are you? I don't know you. There was a show one time I remember years ago where this guy was on Happy Days. Y'all ever remember Happy Days? And there was a, see, that was supposed to be based in Milwaukee at a place, a custard shop that was down near the airport in Milwaukee. It was an actual place with a lot of neon lights, and they had custard. That was it was called Leon's. That's what Arnold's was based on, was Leon's in Milwaukee. And anyway, so, I mean, we watched the show, but I remember one where this guy, he wanted to get Fonzie because Fonzie did something to him when they were kids. And now he learned karate, and he was going to, it was that Tom Hanks is who the actor was. And he was going to get Fonzie, and Fonzie's like, what? I don't remember you. I don't know you. I don't remember what I... Oh, and he told them in detail what he did to him on the playground. There are people that think like that. And I'm going to get you back. Well, the guy that did that died. So, you know, the best thing you could do is say, forgive me. You know, Pastor John just told me when they were up north, that one of the neighbors up there came and said, your brother bullied my son. And John's like, well, Mike was too old, and I never did it. I don't even know you. It was that Dan. I'm like, I said, Johnny, tell me, what was the name? And he told me that. I said, I don't know them. I didn't know them. They're mistaken. I wasn't a bully. Well, maybe a little. But anyway, you know, I didn't know this kid. I didn't do that. And she was vehement about her stance. Yes, he did. John's like, well, just forgive him then. You know, John didn't know what to say, you know, because no, Danny didn't do that. You know, because he called me and said, do you know this guy? I said, no. He said, well, this woman, she's in her 80s anyway, and she's claiming you were bullying her boy when he was really young. I was like, wow, it's time to forgive and forget, isn't it? I didn't even know who that was. I think the woman, well, anyway. She needs her mind renewed with the Word of God. Amen. So, he is the remembrancer. He'll bring to your remembrance the things that he's told you. Let's go one more. John chapter 15, look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even, or that is the Spirit of truth, so he is the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He is the testifier. And the word for testifier means one who makes a statement out of a personal knowledge. Do you suppose the Holy Spirit can testify of Jesus? You know? So anytime you and I want to testify of Jesus, who's moving you to do that? I'll tell you right now, it's not the devil. I'll tell you right now, it's the Holy Spirit. So stop looking for the spectacular and start walking in the supernatural, because every time those unctions hit you to say something about Jesus or talk about Jesus or quote a verse of scripture or share something in fellowship with somebody or just to walk in love towards somebody you don't even know. The devil's not telling you to be nice and kind to people that you don't even know. He doesn't tell you to be kind to anybody. Amen? So you want to hear the very detailed words of wisdom, words of knowledge, And you want discerning of spirits, and you want special faith to flow in you, and you want miracles to work in you and through you, and you're not even responding when the Holy Spirit says, hold the door for that person. Smile and say a kind word to him. He has to start somewhere with people. And you need to be very, very sensitive to just doing those types of things and get used to on a daily basis just taking those steps of obeying when he tells you to do something and recognizing the rat who's behind the thoughts about your past, recognizing these things, recognize the Holy Spirit's the one who brings to my remembrance the things that Jesus has said and done. Well, how would Jesus respond to something? If a person did something to him, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, right? For they know not what they do. You are humans. All of us are humans, but we have the Spirit of God living in us. He enables us to walk above unforgiveness, above those things. If Jesus did it, then because Jesus lives in you and in me, then you and I can walk in that. That's our identity with him. If Jesus forgave those who persecuted him, can you and I forgive people that persecute us? Come on, answer me, please. Don't leave me hanging. Well, of course you can. Of course you can. Why? Because of Christ in us. Because Christ is in you. He is the testifier, the one who makes a statement out of personal knowledge. We're going to stop right there. He's the abiding guest, he's the teacher and the remembrancer, and he is the testifier. Whew. Man, how many of y'all want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more in a more detailed way? Amen. You know, go ahead and stand to your feet. We as believers, especially in a spirit-filled church, I want you men and women, guys and gals, to begin to flow in the things of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's not like, well, when we get to church, then I'll start to listen to the Lord. You better be listening to the Lord throughout your day. And you need to do it every day. And the point of this tonight is, Don't look for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Some folks think it has to be spectacular or it's not the Spirit of God. That is not true. Do you hear me? That is not true. The times when you hear something that is totally like, wow, the Lord told me that. Well, when that happens, you might as well just write it down. There were many other times throughout your walk with Christ that something very, very seemingly benign was spoken to you and you listened and you obeyed. He will not talk to people and give greater assignments to folks that won't even do the little things. Yeah, but I have a worldwide vision. No, you need to get a vision for right in front of you, man. Before you're going to ever do anything else, you got to start right where you're at. It's like the guy, well, I'm going to believe God for this, that, and the other, and they can't believe God for socks. You're going to believe God for tens of thousands of dollars to go and do this work and so on. God can't trust you yet if you're not willing to do the little things. Never despise small beginnings. Yes, start where you're at. Come on, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you tonight that every one of us will take time to listen to you. Spend time cultivating, hearing your voice, and applying some wisdom from your word in our daily dealings with things in our lives. So I thank you tonight and praise you tonight for your goodness. And Lord, that we will be very, very cautious to hear you and to recognize that you're never the one who tells us to do things that run contrary to the word. That's one of the most simple things you and I can do, is not fall into the trap of making excuses for doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, that you know are contrary to the Word of God, and yet you make excuses for it being all right with you. Now, Father, I thank you that every one of us are growing in grace and knowledge, growing in our understanding of the Word. And as good soldiers in the army of the Lord, being obedient to whatever you say for us to do. So I thank you for that tonight, and I praise you for it tonight. All in the name of Jesus we pray. Y'all agree with that? This is not a message for baby Christians. This is a message for those that want to move on and start hearing and start being used of God. Well, you got to start somewhere with it. And I'm not saying you're all at the beginning. I believe that many, many of you are moving along in this, and I praise God for that. But in that, don't ever think you've arrived. I've had spectacular things happen. I've had very unspectacular things happen. The Spirit of God was in both of them. So just conduct your life on a consistent basis of endeavoring to hear from God, endeavoring to hear from the Lord, whether it sounds spectacular or not. Obey what he tells you to do. Yeah. Make sure you have word to line up with whatever it is that you're looking at. Father, we thank you and praise you for this night. And we give you glory, honor, and thanksgiving for the word that was sown. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living and dwelling in us. Oh, thank you that you never leave us and never forsake us, that you abide with us forever. Oh, in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Can y'all agree with that? If you do, say amen.